Amen. God is holy. And then we're going to be in 2 Peter chapter 1. Peter writes in 1 Peter, "Be holy, for I am holy." Because we are His, we're to be holy as well. Now I want to speak about growing in grace, which that hymn, though I did not pick it out, it does seem to go along with the message this morning. But before we read our passage here, I do want to mention one other prayer request. Candace mentioned a 97-year-old woman named Liesl in the nursing home. She's unsaved and very bitter. And so just pray that God, in whatever time remains in her life, that she would come to know Jesus Christ as her Savior. Her name is Liesl, so please keep her in prayer if you would. 2 Peter chapter 1, and I want to begin reading in verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. The Apostle Peter writes this second letter with an emphasis on spiritual development. In chapter 3 and verse 18, he says, "Grow in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ." We're to grow in grace. That's the title of my message this morning. He stresses the importance of a believer growing from spiritual infancy to mature believers with the divine nature. Look at 1 Peter 2:2. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. Start at verse 1. "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby." The Bible likens our spiritual life to that starting out as a babe and then growing and maturing. And we are to grow and to mature. Now, Bob was talking about some interviews that he had this past week. Was it five of them? Five people interviewing for a job with Crossing there. And I think it was two of them never even showed up. One of them called and said he's going to be late. Supposed to be there, what, 9 o'clock? Noon? Well, he's supposed to be there at 9, though, right? Oh, 7. He's, "I'm going to be a little bit late, but I could make it by noon." So there's three washed out. Another one showed up and he says, "You're going to give me a drug test?" I won't pass that. Out of five people, one. One person. And you know, there's this attitude today that it doesn't matter. What I want is what's important. You know, don't show up for things when they're supposed to. Don't care if they got a job or not. Just don't care. And the sad thing is, it's in the church too. And that's what Paul's writing about. Listen, God's given you these great and precious promises that we can be partakers of God's divine nature to escape the corruption that is in this world through lust, to be like Jesus Christ. And as a child of God, that's something we ought to desire. That's something we ought to strive for. That's something we ought to give all of our attention and efforts to, is being more like Jesus Christ. But too many Christians just have such a lackadaisical attitude about their relationship with God. God has done so much for us. The gift of salvation he's given us, made all that's available to us for us to grow, but it's our responsibility to apply those things. Look again at verses 3 and 4 here in 2 Peter chapter 1. According as his divine power. Now, is that limited? I mean, this is the God that spoke and brought everything into existence. Let there be light, and there was light. According to his divine power, hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. It's possible for me to have that divine nature. It's not automatic. I've been saved, it'll be 48 years this year, October, that I've been saved. I still don't have that divine nature. I'm closer than I was 48 years ago, a lot closer. I guarantee you that. But I'm not there yet. But that's not God's fault. That's mine. And that's something we need to strive for, is to have that divine nature implanted in us. Romans 8:28, for we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. But we oftentimes ignore verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. God wants us to be conformed to that image, and we need to strive for that. Three things I want to call your attention to this morning from this passage. The first is this: the place to start. The starting point that God has established. Look again at verse 1 here, 2 Peter chapter 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith. It's something we have attained. God, we've gained this. We have received from God this faith, this like precious faith. Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith is a gift from God. It's not something I conjure up within me. It's something God makes available to us. And he says, we have obtained that. And he says, it's a like precious faith. It's an even playing field. When you come to the cross, we're all equal. No, nobody's any closer to that divine nature when you come to Jesus Christ for salvation than anybody else. I don't care how good you might have been before you were saved. I don't care how religious you might have been. I don't care how many good works you might have done. You still fell short of the glory of God. We're all uneven when we come to the cross. We're sinners destined for an eternity in hell until we receive from God that like precious faith, that precious gift that he provides for each and every one of us. You know, man likes to change the starting point, you know. We like to set our own rules about things. God doesn't allow that. We're all in need of a Savior. We're all destined for an eternity in hell without the salvation that God gives us through the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, that was Israel's problem. Look at Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Paul writing here to the people of Israel, or about the people of Israel, I should say. Romans 10 and verse 1. Romans writing to the believers, Romans says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." Now listen, this is the people that was God's people. The whole Old Testament is about those people. These who came out of Egypt and went through the Red Sea and wandered in the wilderness, received the commandments, and then God led them into that promised land. These people, the apple of God's eye. But he says, my desire is that they be saved. They're not any closer than we were without Jesus Christ. Look at verse 2. "For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God." They've got a zeal. These people had a zeal for God. They had a desire for him. In fact, when the wise men came looking to find out, following that star, and asked where Jesus Christ was, the Pharisees told them where they would find him. They knew the scriptures. They had a zeal for God. But that wasn't enough. They had to bear them record. They have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves under the righteousness of God. You know what the difference between a saved person and a lost person is? It's not that they go to church. It's not that they read the Bible. It's not that they try to allow that divine nature to be formed in them. Saved person's got God's righteousness. And a lost person doesn't. The people of Israel that Paul had this burden for, they had not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. They tried to establish their own. You ever talk to somebody about the Lord? Well, I try to obey the golden rule. Yeah. Well, can you show me where that is in the Bible? Well, no, but everybody knows the golden rule. Yeah. Well, I keep the commandments. Name them. Yeah. Number one, you can't do it. And number two, nobody can keep all 10. And in fact, there's over 600 commandments in the Old Testament. And all have come short of the glory of God. See, going about to establish their own righteousness and not submitting to the righteousness of God. Look back at Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3 and verse 21. "But now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested." Had nothing to do with the Old Testament law. "Being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by the faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference." See, by the faith of Jesus Christ, not Muhammad, not Buddha, not Confucius, Jesus Christ. For all has sinned and come short of the glory of God. Verse 24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be the propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness, not mine, for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believe in Jesus. We receive by faith, accepting what God has said through his word and acting upon it. That's what my salvation is based upon. Romans chapter 10, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, I struggled with eternal security for a year and a half after I got saved. And I looked at the changes that God brought in my life, the things that I wasn't doing any longer that I had been doing as a 23-year-old young man. And I was looking at all those things, but when it was finally, I went to the Word of God and said, that's what I did. I called upon the name of the Lord. And God said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not might, not could be, shall be saved. That settles it. It doesn't matter how I feel. It doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter what somebody else teaches. It's what the Word of God says. I did what God told me to do to get saved. And that settled it. And I have not doubted my salvation one day since that day. Because it's not based upon me or anything about me. It's all about him. When he died on the cross, he took my sins upon himself. And in the place of my sin, he gave me his righteousness. Look at Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3 and verse 3. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish. We all were foolish sometimes before we're saved. Disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures. Well, we're all the same in that respect. We had our differences, but we were all in this category, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. Not after I changed my mind, not after I turned over a new leaf, not after I decided to stop doing all the things that I was doing that were displeasing to God. No, after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done. I mean, it doesn't get any clearer than that. It's not about me. It's about him. But according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. God took my sins. He washed me through that regeneration, and he renewed me. As it says in 1 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. But look at 2 Corinthians 5. I just quoted you verse 17, but let's go to verse 21 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. When God looks down at me, He doesn't see my sin anymore. That's covered under the blood of Jesus Christ. All my sin, past, present, and future, is covered under the blood of Jesus Christ. He took it all away when I trusted Him as my Savior. And He looks down upon me and sees His righteousness upon me. He looks at me through the blood of Jesus Christ. And my sins are gone. They're as far as the east is from the west. He's taken them away. They're buried in the deepest of the bottom of the deepest sea. My sins are gone. And I'm righteous. Not because I live righteously, because I fail. I'm righteous because I have God's righteousness upon me. That's what God sees when He looks at me. And we've received that by faith. This like precious faith. Go back to 2 Peter chapter 1. So he says, we've attained this like precious faith through the righteousness of God, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Look at verse 5. And he says, beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. That's the starting point. You come to faith in Jesus Christ. You stop trusting in yourself, your baptism, your church, your good works. Everything else is thrown aside. As Paul said in Philippians 3, I count it all but dung that I might win Christ. It's worthless compared to what God gives me. And he says, now add to your faith. And then he lists these things. Several different things here. We're not going to go through each of these in detail this morning, but this is the path to growth. God wants us to grow in grace. You start by the faith that He gives to us, and then we grow. Verse 5, add your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. He says, add these things. It's not automatic. But this is how we escape that corruption that is in the world through lust. Because I'm a new creature in Jesus Christ, I'm His child, I've got His righteousness upon me, but the fact is, the old man's still alive. My flesh is still alive. God's Spirit dwells within me, but I've got that old nature at the same time. And I've got this conflict taking place within me. There's a desire, as Paul talked about in Romans chapter 7, a desire to do what's pleasing and honoring to God. But then at the same time, there's this pull away from Him. My flesh, my lusts, my desires. And I've got to strive to overcome that. Put that to death, mortify the deeds of the body, and be alive unto God. Allow Him to work in me, to replace the old nature with that divine nature in a practical sense. To escape that corruption requires steady, diligently patient application of biblical truth. That's why it's so important to spend time every day in the Word of God. In communion with God in prayer. That's how we overcome those temptations, those urges, those desires that are still there, folks. Each and every day. Throughout each and every day. We got to put that to death and live unto Him. Look at Ephesians 4. Ephesians chapter 4. We'll probably be in this tonight in our study in Ephesians. But Ephesians chapter 4, verse 21. He says, if so be, chapter 4, verse 21 of Ephesians, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. So that's something we have to actively do if we're to grow in grace, if we're to have that divine nature in us, that image of Jesus Christ. We need to put off these things. That former conversation, verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. That's what God desires of us. But that's by that steady, diligent application of the truth of God's word in our lives on a daily basis, on a moment-by-moment basis. Psalm 19 says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Verse 11 says, thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. This book is so important in our lives. Read it, study it, memorize it, to get to know God and to give the sword of the Spirit the tools that he needs to work in our lives to help to conform us to Jesus Christ. Look at Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. Colossians 3, 1. If then ye be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. You ever heard somebody say, oh, he's so heavenly minded, he's no earthly good? It's usually some backslidden Christian that says that. It's certainly not a mature believer, because that's what God wants us to be, is heavenly minded. He says, set your affections on things above, not on things of this earth. God doesn't want us to be earthly good. God wants us to be heavenly minded. Verse 2, set your affections on things above, not on the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. See, there's something we're looking forward to. This isn't all there is, like Liesl thinks. You're dead, you're just gone. No. There's some, for the believer, there's much more. For the unsaved, there's something more too, but it's not very pleasant to think about. But for us believers, we got something to look forward to. When Christ, which your life shall appear, then shall we also appear with him in glory. And you know what? We're going to have to give an answer to God at that time for the things that we've done in the body. Yes, if you're saved, you're saved for eternity. But the question is, what will you have in eternity? For those believers who have not worked at having the divine nature instilled in them, they're going to be saved, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 3, yet so as by fire. Because all they got is wood, hay, and stubble. And it's going to be tried by fire, and whoosh, and it's gone. You still got the foundation in Jesus Christ. But everything that you've lived in your life for will be reduced to nothing if you've not used anything, your life in any way, to serve God. If you got some gold, silver, precious stones, those will endure the fire. And you'll have that to endure for eternity. We've got a future to look forward to. So he says, verse 5 of Colossians 3, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Fornication. That's really dismissed anymore in our society today. No big deal. Even Christians shacking up, living together. That's wicked, folks. That's not God's plan and purpose. He says, mortify that. Uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. You know, we like to point out some of these other things, the fornication and so forth. But God says covetousness is idolatry. You covet your neighbor's goods, your neighbor's wife. That's idolatry, God says. You just as well be bowing down and worshiping an idol. See, God's got a little different attitude about things than we do. And so many people today, Christians, live their lives strictly for the acquisition of things that are all going to perish one day. Look, I'm not saying you shouldn't have anything. I'm not saying you shouldn't try to have a decent house and a decent car and things like that. There's nothing wrong with that. But where's your heart set? Is it all about acquiring those things? And so you got no time for God? No time to come to church? No time to read your Bible? No time to pray? No time to speak to others about Jesus Christ? When you push the things of God aside for these material things, you've replaced God with those things in your life as a God. You're worshiping something else. Verse 6, for which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. As the unsaved have God's wrath upon them for those things. And he says, you as a child of God got no business pursuing those things. Verse 7, in which you also walked in some time when you lived in them. Is there any changes in your life since you've been saved? You were the child of disobedience. And now you're a child of God. You hath he quickened, who are dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That's what you were before you were saved. You ought not to be that anymore. You're his child. Verse 8. But now you also put off all these. So he's assuming that those other things have already been dealt with. The fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, covetousness, and so forth. He says, now here's some more things we need to strive as children of God to have in our out of our lives. Put off all these. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. As a child of God, I got no business having that in me. The filthy jokes. Verse 9, lie not one to another, seeing ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge, after the image of him that created him. Look at 1 Corinthians 3, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 18. I'll back up a little bit. referred to this earlier. Let's start in verse 10. Let's start there. 1 Corinthians 3:10. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Salvation puts the foundation in place. God established that. What's been built on your life since then? Verse 12, now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. As we stand at that judgment seat of Christ, my life is going to be tried. All the things that I've done in my body, whether it be good or evil, Romans 14 says, is going to be tried. Verse 14, if any man's work abide, the gold, silver, precious stones he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. So I can gain something by allowing that divine nature to be implanted in me. A reward. Talks about crowns that will cast at his feet there. But then he says this, verse 15, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Folks, I don't want you to be naked and empty-handed before the Lord in eternity. I desire that we each have some rewards. But that's up to each of us individually. Because if you build nothing but wood, hay, and stubble upon the foundation of Jesus Christ, and it's gone, and there's nothing there. Saved, yet so as by fire. Because God's going to try it. Verse 17, or verse 16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. The mediocrity, the complacency among Christians is really sad. The Christianity for many people is nothing more than just coming to church for an hour on Sunday morning. God wants us to be examples for Him in the world, to be a witness to those around us. This is the path for growth. We got the starting point of faith, the path for growth. Now go to 2 Peter chapter 1 again. The prize to be obtained. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 8. He told us to add all those things, verses 5 through 7. Verse 8, for if these things be in you and abound, then make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Not barren, not unfruitful. If we've added these things, faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and charity. But look at verse 9. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. short-sighted. Just like those applicants that Bob had this week. No concern about providing for their family with a job. No concern about bettering themselves in this country with all the opportunities that are here. Just, well, I got my drugs. That's more important to me. I got to get my beauty sleep so I can't make it in before noon. I can't even bother to show up. But as a Christian, I hope that's not your attitude toward the things of God. He describes you as blind and you cannot see afar off and had forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Forgotten what God did for you. Like I said, it's been 48 years. I still remember that day. I still remember what God did for me. And I don't claim to be perfect. I'm far from it. But as John Newton said, I'm not what I ought to be. I'm not what I should be. But what I am by the grace of God. And by his grace, he'll be in me all that I ought to be. Forgotten is purged from his old sins. And he says, wherefore, brethren, verse 10, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. I want to be of use to God. And as I get to the point in my life when the years ahead of me are far less than what's behind, I want to finish well. I don't want to lose the things that I've wrought over these last 48 years. I want to see, as Paul said, that I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. I want to have fruit on my account when I get there. I want to see some other people in heaven because of me. I want that abundant entrance. Let's stand, please, for prayer. Oh God, I know I'm nothing. And but for you, I would be looking forward to an eternity in hell. Thank you, God, for your marvelous grace and your abundant mercy and the faith which you've given. Lord, in whatever time you have remaining for me, may I be faithful to communicate the truth of your word to your people. To challenge them, not because I'm angry with them, but because I love them. And I want them too to have that abundant entrance that can be theirs if we just strive to diligently apply these truths in our life. God, speak to the heart of your people as you see the need this morning. Father, if there's someone who's never trusted you as Savior today, may they understand how much you love them, how wide you hold your arms open to receive them, if they'll just humble themselves and come to you. That today, right now, they could have their sins forgiven and be on their way to an eternity with you. God, if there's someone here this morning that's never trusted you, may you speak to those hearts and draw them to yourself. God, if some of your people are struggling this morning with just their flesh. Help them to God to get some victory. Pray these words can be of encouragement and help to them. God, help us each to continue to strive that we might please and honor and glorify you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Turn please in your hymn books to number 543. We sing this hymn of invitation. The altar's open. If you would like to spend some time in prayer this morning, just taking care of some things in your life, you come. If you're not saved,